Let's focus our attention now on the city of Tshwane. Executive Mayor Celia Brink today delivered the State of the City address, the second that he has delivered in his capacity as the Executive Mayor of South Africa's capital. And he joins us now on 702 Drive to take a look at some aspects that he dealt with. Executive Mayor, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, John. Good to talk to you.
So I want to start with something that you highlighted in your speech, and I think anyone who lived in the city will have been aware of the consequences of that time. You spoke about the strike that really did severe damage to the city. How would you characterize the state of relationships with organized labor in Tshwane now? Are you comfortable enough that you've got some common purpose and that at least that part of the road is pothole free for a while?
Well, if you're the mayor of Tshwane or really any city in Gauteng, you are never complacent about these things or anything else for that matter. But it's clear to us that the strike last year was captured by a part of the workforce that was particularly violent, that used criminal tactics and that tried to, use the situation to their advantage. I don't think it ever reflected the attitude of a majority of employees, but of course that strike was about the inability of the city to pay salary increases, and that did affect morale of employees of the city. We've got to be clear about that. All employers want to pay increases. All employees want to receive increases. But I think we're at a position now. We've got a good relationship with organized labor. We're in mediation at the moment about the salary disputes that we've had over the years.
Yes.
But the important point is you have to stick to the rule of law. If you allow criminality to be a bargaining chit, then you're in deep trouble.
So I want to turn then to a key issue around service delivery. Obviously, electricity is front and center at the moment out in certain parts of the city, but the water problems have been severe as well. Two things in your speech seem to me slightly at odds, and I want to understand them better. You say that you target, with regard to water, to repair 90% of water leaks within 48 hours. That's your goal over the next financial year. So that would suggest that you need to do that soon. But then you say we need an entire new way of detecting and fixing leaks. The promise of quick response to the leaks is to some extent not quite undermined, but called into question by the sentence I've just read, that you are saying, well, the way we go about this needs a total revision, but at the same time, we're going to meet a standard that we haven't yet delivered on.
So there are the leaks reported by the public, and then there are the leaks that you don't even see.
Right.
That causes massive water losses, and then a number of days afterwards, it only breaks out to the surface.
Okay.
What I mean by a new system is we're going to have to employ technology, appoint a centralized leak detection and repair team. But in the longer term, the whole way in which we manage water resources will have to change. And what I was hinting at are talks with National Treasury. They've got certain suggestions on how water as a resource can be better managed. I wanted to signal that there might be changes in this regard, but we're not at a point yet where we say this is the plan. So that is very much the focus. You can do pipe replacements, but that alone is not going to solve the problem of water losses. And our aim is very much to get to the point where we attend to these water leaks. But the bigger leaks that aren't immediately visible, that we proactively detect that, proactively detect weaknesses in our water network, and then go and fix that before the water losses are experienced.
Executive Mayor, I mean, the financial plight of Tshwane is well documented. It's been front and center in many of the public statements that you've made. You do say in the speech that you're going to collect 6 billion rand out of the 22.3 billion rand that you owed in the next few months. Two-part question. How are you going to do that? And secondly, do you accept that this is a moving target, that it's a little bit like whack-a-mole? You might collect some money here, but debt is going to pop up there.
So the important point is that we're already making some progress, and this was recognized by Ratings Africa. You said that of all of the metros in the country, Tshwane made the best progress on financial sustainability in 2023. That does not mean that the financial rescue mission is accomplished. It also doesn't mean that we're out of financial distress. We're very much still there. But it shows that the decisions we have made have shown some good results. Now, debtors book, the project to collect 6 billion off of this 23.3 billion debtors book is very much a project to rebuild the city's tax administration capacity. So yes, even though that's historical debt, in the process of fixing metering, fixing billing, fixing credit control and debt collection, getting the capacity, for example, to issue summons against large consumers who refuse to pay their debts, in that process will also increase our ability to collect on current debt, not just the historical stuff. But the historical stuff is important because it's money that's already owed. And how are we going to do that? By the very aggressive credit control, which you might have seen in our campaign, Tshwane Yatima, where we're going out and doing disconnections of businesses, households, state entities, and ensuring that that money gets paid. This might seem to residents and consumers like it's all about money, it's all about billing and queries and so forth. It is not. It is at the heart of our ability to improve services,
yes,
to borrow money, to generate capital so that we can invest it in infrastructure and create a sustainable future here.
You are talking about trying to make the tender system less complicated, but one of the sentences in that part of your speech caught my eye. You lament somewhat the national procurement laws that don't always allow you, and I'm paraphrasing here, by the way, I'm not quoting directly,
yes,
that don't always allow the phrase you used, you the opportunity to create value for money. What in particular is the problem? And have you engaged with National and said, hey, this doesn't work?
So you might know that the preferential procurement regulations were struck down by court order.
Right.
And before that happened, there were very, very onerous race-based procurement requirements of ownership and so forth. The court case struck down those regulations. New regulations were promulgated. But the point is that national legislation very much tries to achieve certain socioeconomic objectives. So it says, if we spend government money, it must empower this group of people, it must benefit this sector of society, whereas the most important consideration for anyone at local government where our money is so severely constrained is the consideration of value for money. Is the bridge that we're going to build going to stand? Is the contractor that we're appointing to do the sewerage connections capable of completing that project? Those must be the most important considerations. But as I said, we do operate within the framework of national legislation. And what we'll do is, within that framework, do the best we can to, in fact, get value for our very constrained finances.
Let me ask you this then, Executive. I mean, how do you define value? I mean, on one level, it's an accounting treatment, isn't it? Like, what did we pay for this, and either so, did it so work or...
No,
hold on, Sorry, can I just finish the question? Is there not another dimension to value, which is about creating a sustainable economic community in a city as important as Tshwane, which would, over time, surely... give you maybe not the rands and cents advantage that you're describing, but would give you a city with a much greater sustainable social and economic community. In that sense, is the legislation, the guidelines, are the guidelines from Treasury as dysfunctional as you suggest?
Yes, they are. I think billions in value is being destroyed with these regulations.
Right.
Value is very easy. is the contract completed, the project completed on time? Are the prices that are quoted roughly comparable to the private sector? When you see these stories of municipalities paying excessive amounts for simple goods that can be purchased at you know, half the price in the private sector, that is money that could have gone to essential projects of development. And it's not projects that only benefit certain communities. It is the poorest of the poor that depend on projects being completed on time, on roads being constructed properly, on sewerage projects being done according to specification. If we can't get the absolute best, and the people who live in our community and other communities deserve the absolute best. The issue about the sustainable economy is a broader issue. We cannot just load upon the state and say the state's role is to change the economy. We have to work for value. Any other approach is not going to be sustainable. And I believe, as someone who served in Parliament before, served on the COGTA Portfolio Committee, that government can do far better to get better value for people's money and better prospects, better life circumstances for the poor from that spend.
But do you not accept that you can do that if you manage your books and you manage your procurement properly, and that does not necessarily, as it seemed to me you suggest, doesn't necessarily place you in conflict with the goal of creating a more equitable economy, bringing previously disadvantaged people into the procurement and provision space? Surely you can do both.
We've got to manage our procurement system far better. And there's a lot that we're doing, and we've already seen a better audit outcome.
Right.
But no, John, I disagree with you. I've seen enough. I've seen enough projects fail. I've seen the supply of quality goods and services to government become worse and worse. And it isn't about disadvantaged communities. It's about the complexity of the system that benefits certain insiders in the system. We cannot afford that. We need to simplify things. We don't have the money. We haven't had proper economic growth in this country for more than a decade. We have to absolutely use every rand of public money that we have to procure the best, the fastest, the most capable services and goods that we possibly can.
Celia Brink, City of Tshwane Mayor. I mean, it's a very interesting debate that we were starting to have at the end. I wish we had a bit more time for it. We'll get back to it, I'm sure. But just touching on some of the issues that the Executive Mayor dealt with in his State of the City address. If you live in Tshwane and heard the address, by all means, give us a call and tell us what you thought. 011-883-0702 and 072-702-1702. It's 27 minutes to 4.